Joshua chapter number 2 and verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." Now I'm going to have you, with that in mind, go over to Joshua chapter number 6 and look at verse number 22. This is after the conquest of Jericho, verse 22 of chapter 6. "But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brother and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're going to just continue our study in the Word of God on this subject of young men and young manhood, the tenets of masculinity as they're presented to us in the Scriptures. I pray, Lord, that you would please help us, dear God, to gain wisdom, give us discernment. I pray for Holy Spirit help to the moms and dads and the grandmas and grandpas, and Lord, everyone that leads in any capacity in our church, that we would, with Holy Spirit wisdom, take in account the things that were taught, and Lord, the best we can to try to help implement these character traits into the young men, Lord, that you've given us custodial care over. I pray for our young men that they would be challenged by these tenets, that they would set, Lord, these as goals in their life, and as they begin to develop and to grow into all that you would have them to be, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Instilling biblical masculinity into teenage boys, we began last Sunday night going through 20 tenets of biblical masculinity, and this is the result of studying the Word of God and what it has to say about young men or young man or youth in reference to young men. And it's simply a Bible study. That's what it is. I'm not interested in what the world says masculinity is. I'm very much interested in what the Bible says masculinity is. And there are some things that are connected to manhood and turning into a young man that the Bible teaches us. We spent last week the entire sermon on the very first tenet, and that had to do with developing the work ethic. Young men are to be assigned tasks that put to use their physical strength and that develop in them a work ethic. And I won't reteach this because I'd like to gain ground and cover as much as possible tonight on this subject. Let me give you number 2, as we studied here in Joshua chapter number 2, chapter number 6, and as we'll see over in 1 Samuel 17 in just a minute. But let me give you number 2, tenets number 2, tenets of biblical masculinity. Young men should be assigned jobs that require cunning, courage, and personal risk. Young men should be assigned jobs that require cunning, courage, and personal risk. Now, if you've got a young man that's 12 years old, he's at the very beginning stages of what we're teaching. I'm defining young men, and I think I'm pretty accurate to do this, from when a young man hits 12 till they get to be about 30 years of age. This is the window where these things are developed. Of course, early on, it's the beginning of the process. We must exercise patience. Dads, are you hearing me? We must exercise patience. Teaching and training is a process, and we must not overwhelm them. We must give them responsibilities that would fit to where they're at in life, but we ought to begin this process. If you're halfway through that process, somewhere around 21, 22 years of age, you ought to be well on your way to having these things developed in your life. And as you go into the aged men category, you should not only have them developed into your life, but understand how to teach them to younger men. As long as we do this generationally, we can protect biblical masculinity and see to it that it does not die. Even in this culture where Satan has targeted every one of these tenets and tried the best he can to try to get us or keep us from instilling these in our young people. Now, let me say this again. Young men should be assigned job. Preacher, did I hear you right? You sure did. That require cunning, courage, and yes, personal risk. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, we see that Joshua calls the two men that he had sent to spy out the land. And we learn in Joshua 6:23 that these were young men. These were young men. I do not believe they were 12-year-olds or 14-year-olds or probably 16-year-olds. I think they were more in the category between 20 and 30 years of age, but they were young men. Now, these young men were selected by Joshua, two of them. He looked around and saw two young men that he felt was qualified for this job, and he sent them to spy out the country, to spy out Jericho. Now, think about this. These two spies that were sent in Joshua chapter 2 were young men. They're selected for a task that required courage, cunning, and personal risk. They had to make decisions based on their ability to read people. They were spies. Who to trust and who to avoid. They entered a walled and guarded city, evaluated the strengths and weaknesses, spent a day hiding in the roof material of a harlot's home, and returned safely to report to Joshua. Now, I think when these two young men got chosen by Joshua and said, "Come here, you come and report to me," and he gave them this secret assignment, I think it was all they could do not to go back and rub it in on the other young men that they get the chance to do that. I mean, how cool is this? As soon as they got back and were able to tell the story, I'm sure they did. Hey, Joshua is going to allow us to sneak over there into that walled city. He's trusting us to use the cunning that we need and the courage, and yes, put ourselves at personal risk. Folks, this was a death sentence if they were caught as spies. And they were hunted while they were there. And they were pursued while they were there. And they had to use cunning. And they had to use courage. And they had to set aside their fears. And they had to put themselves at risk in order to carry out this. But these young men did that. They did it. And by the way, they are credited by Joshua as being huge in the success of the fight there against Jericho. They were the young and sneaky men that were sent into the city. They were the eyes of Joshua, and they came back and gave an accurate report of what they saw. Now, let me say this, folks. Well, yes, I think we have to be age sensitive here. I'm not talking about putting very young men at great uncalculated risk. But I am saying this. You know what, young men? As you grow through your teenage years, you need to face your fears. You know what courage is? Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is facing your fears, having the character to control your fear, set it aside, and do what needs to be done in order to get the job done. Personal risk. Preacher, I don't believe you're saying this. You're telling us that young men, in order to turn into young boys, in order to turn into young men, should experience some amount of personal risk. That's exactly what I'm saying. Now, mamas, go home and ask your son. The honest truth is, if there's not some type of a chance for being physically maimed or possibly killed, then really, what fun is it, you know? And that's how most boys view life. You know what? They like that stuff. They like rough and tumble. They're going to climb trees. They're going to fall out of trees. You're going to go to the emergency room. You're going to have them wear a cast. And when you think they've learned their lesson, you're going to look out, and 2 months later, they'll be up in that tree. Only they didn't fall out this time. Did you get that? We think that the way to avoid problems and accidents is to stop letting them try, but it's not. They have to do this. They have to do this because, see, we say, preacher, why are young men like this? Because God's put it in them. Because God knows that in order to accomplish the things that they need to accomplish and to be the Christians they need, they have to have courage. Wasn't it God that came down and said to Joshua when he took the reins from Moses that he would need to be of good courage? Not once did he say that, not twice did he say that, but 3 times he told him courage was going to be a prerequisite to him being a successful leader. And by the way, young men, if you're timid and you're scared, you need to face some of those fears, face them down. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalms 56:3. And so our faith is built and our faith in God is built. And God will be with me and God will go with me and God will protect me. And by God's strength, I can do this thing. And so as you grow older, you'll need to face your fears. And by the way, dads and moms, you need to, we don't let him do that because he's scared of it. That's why you need to let him do it. No, that's why you need to make him do it. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Let me show you this. Preacher, I'm not sure that you're being responsible. Well, hold on. We got more Bible. And you're going to have to disagree with a lot of the Bible if you're going to disagree with me on this. Listen, overprotective mamas and overprotective daddies, and I want to say this, ladies, in your defense, I'm running into as many overprotective daddies as I am overprotective mamas. But they are not preparing young men for being what they need to be and doing what they need to do in this life. And so listen carefully what I have to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 17, the story of David as he prepares to face Goliath. In verse 33 of 1 Samuel 17, notice this. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go. Verse 33, Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. You say, boy, that's a little cocky. No, that's confidence. That's God confidence. You know what? I face down a lion, I face down a bear. God help me in that. He'll help me in this. You know, we have young men that are 25 that's never killed a bear yet. And I don't mean the animal, I mean faced a circumstance. Now think about this, folks. I'm talking about a bear. Not a teddy bear. A real bear. I'm talking about a lion. Say, preacher, well, surely David was in his 20s before he was allowed to do that. That would be inaccurate. Numbers chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 would teach you that the young men that were of 20 years of age and older were allowed to go to war. David was not allowed to go to war. Put your seatbelts on. He was doing these things as a teenager. That means his dad said, go out there and take those lambs and take them out to pasture and move them around and protect them. And here's a sling and here's a staff. And I'm holding you personally responsible. I want there to be the same number of sheep when you get back as there is now. And David took the words of his father very seriously, took the responsibility seriously, and realized that if he was going to protect the lambs, he would have to fight a lion. If he was going to protect the lambs, he might have to fight a bear. And when the time came for that to happen, listen, you can have all of the visions of grandeur of what you think you're going to do, but don't you tell me that David wasn't fearful on some level when a lion come out of the woods and scooped up one of his lambs. But the Bible says he ran after him. He pursued him. He went and took the fight to him. Now, folks, listen to me. There's a lion right now loose in this world, and he's scooping up lambs. And you know why? Because we don't have men. We don't have young men that'll go out and slay some lions. There's bears out there that are out there destroying the flock. And you know what? We need young men that know what it is to exercise masculinity, biblical masculinity, and use cunning and use courage and put themselves at personal risk if necessary, but protect the flock of Almighty God. Now, listen, I want to beware. Just ask you to beware of this tendency. Beware of being overprotective. Beware of not allowing your young men to do some things that involve some part of a calculated risk. I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm not talking about insanity. But I'm talking about allowing them to do some things that's going to require them to face their fears. Face their fears. And exercise godly courage. And yes, face personal risk. And do that. And so notice what is done in this portion of Scripture with these young men. These two men that went into Jericho. Young David, who learned courage out there with the task of watching the lambs and watching the sheep for his father. So young men should be assigned jobs that require cunning and courage and personal risk, some amount of personal risk. Let me take you to number 3. I'm going to try to keep moving here some so we cover the material in some part of a timely fashion. But again, mamas, can I just give you an idea here, and I want you to think about this. Preacher, wait a minute. By the way, I was able to teach this same lesson, all 20, I did not teach all 20 tenets. I introduced some of the tenets. And I went to Ohio on Thursday and Friday and spoke at the Loving and Leading Children and Teenage Conference Brother Dutry puts on there over in Milford at the First Baptist Church. And this was one of the subjects that he had asked me. He knew I had done some research and some writing on it, and he wanted me to teach some of this, so I taught some of this. We had Christian workers, mostly youth pastors is who I talked to, and some of their wives, and they came in here. And they listened to me teach the tenets. I mentioned, as I did to you just now, the danger of being an overprotective mother. I left about 7 or 8 minutes at the end and said, if you have questions, I'd like to add. There's more I could teach, but let me field some questions. And one of these sweet ladies sitting beside her husband out there raised her hand and said, Pastor Ross, if I could ask you a question. She said, you mentioned about being an overprotective mother, and I want to guard against that. Could you speak more specifically to that, what we need to be careful of? I said, do you have boys? And she said, yes. I said, what age are they? And she said, they're 2, and they're 8, and they're 10. And I said, good. Let me tell you, number one, they need a mama. You know what? Some of the best parts of what I am came from my mama. And I mean that. I thank God for the influence of my mother. I was taught to have a tender heart from my mother. I was taught to weep over the right things by my mother. I was taught to enjoy and understand and recognize beauty by my mother. But let me say this. I'll tell you what I said to her. I said, ma'am, okay, good, good. They need, number one, they need you. Number two, you get them till they're 12. You get them till they're 12. Up to the time they're 12 years old, you're the primary. What you need to do is understand after 12 years of age, you need to take a step backward because you do not have the ability to take young boys and turn them into men. That must be done by men. So you've got a good husband I can see sitting there beside you. There's other men in your church, no doubt, that would be willing to influence them in that capacity. And I said, what you're going to want to do from time to time is rush in and say, no, he's too young for that. Don't let him. Let men make those decisions. I like it when he gets quiet like that. We got mamas in here that need to step back. We got mamas on here that your kids are getting ready to go in their teenage years, and you still want to be the primary. Matter of fact, you are setting their lives up to make sure you stay the primary. That's a mistake. I'm telling you, as your pastor, that is a mistake. You know what? David had to go to the camp of the soldiers before he killed a Goliath. And I'm sure that maybe Mrs. Jesse said to Jesse, are you sure he's old enough to go out there with the lambs and stay up there with the beasts of the field? And Jesse said, go make some biscuits, honey. He'll be just fine. Something happens to him, we can have another one. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What I think is, if we're not, that moms, that means sometimes you're going to go like this. And sometimes you're just going to have to leave the room. And sometimes you're going to have to go find something to do. And sometimes when you ask, where are you taking him? And he says, never mind, you just need to stop asking questions. Amen. Young men need to be assigned jobs that require cunning, courage, and personal. By the way, we have a lot of good men around here. But young men, you've landed in a good place to grow up. I mean that. If you're smart enough, you're wise enough to look around, you've got a lot of good men in this church as godly examples and display the tenets of biblical masculinity. You're in a good place. And so I pray that you take advantage of that. Okay? You need to learn from men how to be men. So young men should be assigned jobs that require cunning, courage. And by the way, that sweet little gal sat there and listened to me instead of getting a horrid look on her face like I see a couple places around here. She shook her head, sweetly shook her head, listened to what this preacher said, looked down at the scriptures, looked at her husband. He nodded at her. I got this. She's like, okay. And then I heard her whisper to him, I got a couple more years with him. Amen. I talked to her afterwards and I said, now you do understand when I said to take a step back, it doesn't mean that you're absent in their life. But you've been the primary up to this point, and you need to be secondary. You need to go to a support mode. And so that doesn't mean, teenage boys, that you have a right not to listen to your mama when you turn into a teenager. Matter of fact, if you don't listen to your mama and you begin to be disrespectful to your mama, then you know nothing about masculinity. Nothing about it. So I'm telling your boys to listen to you. But you need to be wise enough, mamas, to know when to say something and when to be quiet. And you need to let men take your young men and help turn them into men. We do a pretty good job around here of it if you'd let some of us have a chance at them. Amen. Number three, young men should be taught. By the way, go to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Young men should be taught that God considers it a great sin to abuse an assigned position of authority by using it for selfish gain and self-gratification. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 12. Eli, my goodness sakes, what a sad commentary. What a man who failed when it came to his own sons. He did a good job with Samuel. He seemed to fail horribly when it came to his own blood sons. But 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 12, we're told a little bit about the sons of Eli. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial and knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he stuck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh for all the Israelites that came hither. And by the way, this was how the people supported and fed the priest. You remember, it was up to the people. The priest had no heritage. They were not granted properties. They weren't out there farming. They were servants unto the Lord. And so they were allowed to do this, and this is how they were supported. But it was supposed to be that they came in. This may seem like a little thing, but it's not. Listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now notice what happened. And it says in verse 15, also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came in and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, and he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And they were supposed to wait until the flesh was sodden. Now, you think about this. You've got a crock pot, all right? You've got a roast in there. You let it cook long enough, it falls to pieces. And so if they come once it's seed, or once it's fully cooked, and they dip in there a prong. You know, it's amazing. God even said how many prongs. You know why? Because he didn't want a bunch of 300-pound fat, lazy priests like Eli was. And he said, whatever you dip in one time and get, that's what you get to eat that day. And you make sure the meat's cooked. Because you know what? If you get a raw piece of meat and you hook into it, you're going to take it all. That's what these young men started doing. They went against this. They start saying, we're not going to have sodden flesh. We're going to have raw. But it hasn't been seeding long enough. We'll take what we want. Verse 16, and if any man said unto them, let them not fail to burn the fat as thy soul desireth, then he would say, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. And if not, I will take it by force. By the way, these young men were afforded this position of responsibility because they were the sons of the high priest. They were priests in training. But they begin to abuse this assigned position of authority for selfish gain and self-gratification. Verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Got the point where they were men, the children of Israel, were to the point where they didn't even want to bring sacrifice unto the Lord because they were tired of watching these young men abuse and take what should have been an offering to God for their own pleasure and their own benefit and their own selfish gain. And then if you look over in verse 22, also it says this about these evil sons of Eli. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And by the way, folks, you be careful. You can't say no to one area of your life when it comes to the flesh. You're going to have trouble saying no to another area of your life when it comes to the flesh. And so these young men, if they wanted it, they should have it. That's the attitude they got. If you won't give it to me, I'll take it by force. I will prostitute my position of authority and use it to my own advantage. Instead of being some trusted man of God, I'm going to use that position to take what I want and get what I want. And I don't have to stand up here and tell you the stories that many of you could stand and share. And I'm preaching to me and the men of my calling. And man after man after man, shamefully, has taken a position of trusted authority in a local assembly and used it for his own selfish gain and own fleshly gratification. But let me say this, be sure your sins will find you out. And you know what? The sin is always found out, but what a black eye. What harm is done to the church of Jesus Christ? Now, I'm going to say this. Eli gave those young men very early on some limited amount of authority. They immediately began to abuse it. A young man should be carefully watched when given assignments that entrust him with authority over others. Some of you young men, especially your late teens, going into your 20s, your pastor is going to begin to give you what I call trial positions. But let me say this, I'm watching you. And other men should watch over you. A lot of times, a novice, that's why the Bible warns us about giving the novice too much responsibility. A novice should not be a pastor of a church. Okay? Because he'll be lifted up with pride. It'll go to his head. But folks, it's not just the position of authority in the church. Any position of authority has the danger of taking you down that road. And so you have to understand what authority is for and what it's not for. To abuse authority is a great sin against God. If he is found, a young man is found to be using that authority for selfish gain or self-gratification, he should immediately be removed from that position. I think Eli early on tested these young men and found out very quickly that they had this bent, but you know what? He did not take away their positions of authority. The Bible says he restrained not his sons. And so I'm not afraid to pull the plug. I'm not afraid to say, you're just not mature enough to handle this. You need to do some growing up. You need to stay in a servant status for a while until you learn that to lead or to be given authority should never be used for your own selfish gain or your own self-gratification. And a young man should learn early that leadership comes with responsibility and should be carried out in a selfless, sincere manner. It should stay clearly within the boundaries of God's holy law. And so whatever the rules are, whatever the parameters are that keep a position of authority sacred and right in the eyes of God, you need to stay within those parameters. Now, what I would do as a leader in the home is I would start giving responsibility. Look up here. Some of you young people that are in your teens, some of you young men that are in your teens, your mom and dad shouldn't still be having to hire a babysitter. Good night. They ought to be able to have a date night. You got a 12, 13, 14-year-old young man in the house. They ought to be able to say you're in charge and be able to go out and understand that you're going to obey the parameters of the rules that they've laid down as far as your own behavior and to watch care over your siblings. Amen. Now, if your mom and dad have put you in that situation and as soon as you got into that situation, they pulled out the driveway, all of a sudden it's, I'm going to do what I want to do and I'm going to abuse the authority that I've been given over my siblings, you're proving you're not very mature. Well, what a shameful thing. People hiring babysitters to watch 16-year-olds. Have we lost our mind? My wife was babysitting children, other people's children, when she was 11, 12, 13 years of age. She was responsible. They could trust her to do that. They could trust her to stay within the parameters of what they asked. And so authority, too many young men look at authority and crave positions of authority. I'm not just talking about teenagers, I'm talking about 20-somethings. I'm even talking about 30 and 40-somethings. And the only reason they want a position is so that they can abuse the authority that's given them. Now, our 20s and 30-somethings, look right up here. I've given some of you young men, and I mean young men. Maybe you're out of high school, but you're still a young man to this old preacher. And I've given you some pretty trusted responsibility around here. Now, listen to me. You need to, every single day of your life, keep yourself in account to God. I didn't give you that position so you could lord over people or abuse people or mistreat people. I gave you that position so you could serve people. Okay? There's a lot of temptation. Now, the bus workers, look right up here. Let me help you something. Look right up here and help me something. The homes you're going to are dysfunctional. The homes you're going to are broken. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Guess what? There's lonely 20-somethings raising their children. You come knocking on their door. And in their mind, they're saying, if I could only have him, my troubles would be over. You know why? Because you're sharp. You know how to handle yourself. You're a hard worker. You've been raised right. Now, you're going to have to be very careful. There's homes that you visit, and you know what? The Holy Spirit of God is making you feel uncomfortable. You should see to it from that point on that your lady workers visit that home. Well, I can handle it. Yeah, that's what Samson said. Next thing you know, he was tied to that post grinding corn like an oxen, blinded. Okay, be very careful. Now, you weren't given that position so that you could seek out self-gratification. You weren't given that position so that you could be selfish and try to get selfish gain out of it. You weren't given that position so you could go off on a power trip. You're given that position so that you can serve others. That's what leadership is. Leadership is serving people. And so your young men need to be given opportunities. And in the home, those opportunities are given, and the parameters should be clearly outlined, and there should be a full accounting and accountability tied into their entry-level leadership positions. And you know what? If they begin to show these type of character traits, then they should be, all authority should be taken from them, and the retraining process start over again until they prove a maturity for being able to handle that position. You be very careful. I mean this. Every single one of you, be careful, 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 careful. Listen, at 19, 20, 21, 22 years of age, that as a single young man, I got married just before I turned 23 as a single young man, I held great responsibility as a division leader over 12 different bus routes, a large section of Chicago. I had the custodial watch care over 12 routes. Captains answering to me, lady workers answering to me, and I was visiting in inner city Chicago where sin is in abundance. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I had to make a decision of what kind of leader I would be. I had to make wise decisions and read people and understand temptation and don't put myself in silly, ridiculous situations. And if I would have failed in what seems like a, now to maybe to some of you, an insignificant, out-of-the-way place, if I'd have failed there, I don't think that God would let me be standing tonight behind the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church as the pastor of this church. And so God's going to give you early on some responsibility. Don't you use it for selfish gain. Don't you use it for self-gratification. I mean, that children's church out there isn't for you to bully kids in. Those Sunday school classes are not for you to bully kids in or feel like a big shot. Okay? That's a place you go and serve the young people of this church. And so I want to warn you about the dangers of this. Well, I could tell you, and if I was cruel enough, I could call names. I've watched pastors take their sons when they got up in their teenage years, and I just wish most pastors would just keep their kids kind of back in the pack. This idea of wanting to always push them forward into leadership positions just because they have a last name too early, it's a dangerous thing. The Bible principles apply to them as much as applies to anybody, maybe more to them. I've watched pastors make their sons youth leaders and youth pastors while they were still in high school. I've watched them begin to display character traits that were typical and begin to mirror the sons of Eli. Instead of taking them out of that position and doing some retraining, they hid and they protected and they lied for and moved around sometimes. But you know what? Be sure your sins will find you out. And folks, we got to be careful of that. Now, don't push your kids too quickly. You know, I'd much rather as the parent of a teenage boy, I'd much rather say, preacher, put him in a service position than in a leadership position. But from time to time, I give him leadership opportunity. It ought to come and be and have built in it an accountability, an accounting. And young people, as you're given that, you're entrusted to that. You have an opportunity. I mean, every once in a while, we're going to do something like that. We're going to do something with that with you 20-somethings. You need to be very cautious and careful because men understand the responsibilities that come with leadership. Number four, let me have you go to 1 Samuel chapter number 25. I love this story. I love this. 1 Samuel chapter number 25. This is the story of David and Nabal, and I know we're not getting into an in-depth teaching of these individual stories, but I want to draw out the young men principles. Number four, young men should be trained in proper communication. They should know how to respectfully converse with grown men and accurately convey an assigned message or request. Now let me read to you some amazing verses. Boy, let them sink in. Sometimes we just read the Bible too fast. We just do. 1 Samuel 25, verse number 5. And David sent out 10 young men. I want you to notice how David prepared them before he sent them out. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. Now notice this. Boy, here's a great lesson, great training lesson. I don't know which 10 young men he picked. I don't know how many of these were the first time they've ever been assigned a task like this. Some of them probably were a bit more experienced than others, and some of them it was a first-time opportunity because David wanted to teach them something. You see, most great leaders are always preparing young men around them, always trying to bring young men into biblical masculinity and instill those traits in them. They're always trying to prepare leaders around them. You understand, folks, the more capable young men that are trained in this ministry, the greater chances we have of this ministry making a huge impact in this area for the Lord Jesus Christ. First Samuel, that's why, by the way, that's why it hurts this pastor's heart for us to lose young men. That's why it breaks God's heart for young men to go AWOL. We need every young man that's brought up in the ranks of this ministry. Unless you're called out of here to full-time service somewhere, we need you here serving. By the time you're 21, 22, 23 years of age, I ought to be able to come to you with some responsibility and give it to you, and you take the ball and run with it. Now, young men should be trained in proper communication. Notice what he said here. He sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, go to Nabal, greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity. Now notice this. He doesn't just give him general greetings or general instruction or general idea. He gives them the very words they should say. Okay? Peace be both to thee and peace to thine house and peace be unto all that thou hast. By the way, first thing he did was teach them how to approach an older man respectfully and cordially, and talk to them in such a way that is respectful of the fact that they are their elders. Notice this, and now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them. All the while they were in Carmel, ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came and spake, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David. What's the last two words? And ceased. And so the young men were taught how to respectfully converse with the grown man, accurately convey an assigned message or request accurately. They didn't embellish it. They didn't add to it. They didn't keep talking once the message was done. They told him exactly what David needed. You know, I'm going to tell you something. It is a good idea from a young age for you to sometimes tell your son. Now listen. I know, Mom, Dad, you could walk over and ask somebody yourself, but it would be good training. Come here a minute. I want you to go see Mr. So-and-so. Would you do that? You know who I'm talking about? Mr. So-and-so? Mr. Nabal? Would you? You know who Mr. Nabal is? Yeah. Now I want you to listen to me because I'm sending you to speak for me. Do you understand the seriousness of that? Yes, sir. All right, look right up here. I'm going to tell you exactly what I want you to say. And you tell them exactly what they need to say. Don't make it too complex. Folks, when they're young, make it easy. Now say, listen, I don't want you to say less than that. I don't want you to say more than that. And I want you to bring back an answer. What are you doing? You're training your children in proper communication skill. Hey, folks, David could have went down and asked him. But David was a leader already. David was trying to train young men to be leaders. And so he wanted to teach them how to properly communicate, how to convey, how to respectfully converse with grown men, how to accurately convey an assigned message or request. And so it is important that we take the time to train our young people in this important area of their life. Have you carried on a conversation with an average 16, 17, 18-year-old young man of the world? I'm just telling you, it's ridiculous. Every once in a while, you'll find the exception. Remember, folks, there always are exceptions. Thank God there are. But they are, in this day and age, an exception. I mean, you just try to carry on a conversation with them. They don't use words. They use caveman sounds. How you doing today? Okay. So what's your name? What is it? What is it? Teach your young men to speak up. Teach them to speak up. Teach them to speak masculine. I shouldn't have to ask boys 3 or 4 times what they're saying to me. Okay, it's ridiculous. Folks, listen, parents, if you don't fix it, it won't get fixed. If you tolerate it, then they're going to keep doing it. Teach them to look somebody in the eye when they're talking to them. Teach them to give them a firm handshake when they give them a handshake. Teach them to accurately say what they ought to say. Teach them to speak respectfully. Now, here's what's happened. Your son wants something, and he wants something from me. So he goes to you, Dad, and he said, would you ask Pastor Jerry about this? Now, listen to me. Let me teach you something here. Men do not send other men to speak for them. Let me say it again. Men do not send other men to speak for them. So your answer ought to be, well, if that's something you want from Pastor Jerry, then you need to ask him. If that's something you want from Brother Reiser, then you need to ask him. Well, I'm not sure what to say. And then you teach them what to say. You say, preacher, it'd just be easier for me to call on the cell phone. Well, it might be easier, but you're not raising a man. You're not raising a man. And you know what? Well, but he's scared. I know. It's called fear, and courage overcomes fear. Amen. Boy, this is good stuff. Did we take up any money? Did we sell tickets to this? This is I can't believe I'm giving this stuff away. This is ridiculous. How you guys are so blessed. It's ridiculous. Good thing we got that verse. Buy wisdom, sell it not. That's the only thing that's keeping me from charging on these Sunday night services. But I mean this. This is gold. Folks, listen. It's gold. Not because Jerry Ross is saying, but because the Word of God is teaching it. It's gold. Jesse McCammon, when he got called to preach shortly after that, I spent a little time with him. I said, Jesse, I'm going to take you over to the nursing home. I'm going to spend 6 weeks transitioning the nursing home from me to you. First week that I show up there, I'll do everything and you'll watch. Halfway through, you'll be doing half of it and I'll be doing half of it. The last Sunday, I'll show up and watch. The 7th Sunday, I won't show up. You know why? Because if you're going to be a preacher, you need to learn to preach and you need to learn to work with people. After I said, it's once a month nursing home service. After about 2 months of preaching, he came to me and he said, Pastor Jerry, and I've been talking to the folks and, you know, they don't have a whole lot of services there and I feel like that maybe God would want me to do more than just once a month. Do you think I could go ask the activities? No, he didn't say that. He said, could you call and ask the activities director if maybe I could come every Thursday? And I do appreciate the fact that he came and asked permission. He should have asked permission from the pastor before he just done something on his own. And so I said, Jesse, I think it's a great idea. If you commit to this, are you telling me that you can do it every Thursday night? Because we're not going to start something and then stop it in 3 months because it gets a little harder. It's thinking, no, if we're allowed to do it, we'll do it unless I'm providentially hindered. I said, good. Okay, I'm not calling the activities director. You're going to go talk to the activities director. You know who she is. I introduce you. Well, yes, sir. And I said, okay, now listen. I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to say to her. And you know what? I told him exactly what he needed to say, exactly from when he walked in. See, don't just tell your kid, well, go take care of it. They really don't know. Okay, folks, they really don't know. If these 10 boys knew, then David wouldn't have had to say word for word exactly what he wanted them to say. He was training them. And so I told him exactly what to say to her, exactly what to ask. We wrote down some things. I said, take some notes on this. And then I sat in the office and I said, okay, now you, I'm her, and you are you, and now you're going to ask, and I want to listen to you. And then after he got done, I said, that's very good. I gave him a few pointers, and I said, you make a call, make an appointment, show up early for the appointment, make yourself available a little bit early, don't be late, walk in there, this is how you conduct yourself, this is how long you stand, this is whether you are seated or not, this is how you talk to her, this is where you look at her. Young men, you're talking to a lady, you keep your eyes right on her eyes during the whole conversation. This is how you look at her. This is how you address her. This is what you ask. This is what you say. And then you cease. And if she asks questions that you know don't know the answer to, then you say, I'm not sure. Could I ask, get with my pastor, and I'll get back with you with some answers. And you see what she says. Now, folks, what's interesting is he went and done that. And he got her permission, got it sanctioned through the organization we're working with there, and he started every Thursday night. Now, when he went down to Commonwealth, I told him, I said, I don't want you to leave here and do more preaching as a teenager here at this church than you do at Bible college. And it bugs me. I'm just going to tell you something. One of my pet peeves when sending our young people off to that studying to preach is that they go 4 years of Bible college and hardly ever preach. If you're called to preach, you need to preach. I'm not saying the pastor ought to give his pulpit to you. You need to go out and find places, entry-level position places to preach, and you need to hone that ability, and you need to do it. You're going to learn more by doing it than anything else. And so as he went down there, I said, now listen, what I taught you to do here, I promise you, you could go. There's nursing homes in Lexington area, but you, number one, make an appointment with college president, and you make an appointment with Brother Fugate. You make sure that it's sanctioned by the church, and you get permission, and you don't. Then you go and make the contacts, and you set it up. He was telling me when he was home this week, and he said, I did that. I got one nursing home service started, and he said that wasn't started before. I went in and done it for a while. He said one of the young men wanted to go with me. Watch this. One of the young men in the church school that wanted an opportunity to preach started going with him. Jesse said, I'll tell you what. I'll take you with me, and I'll go with you for 6 weeks. I'm glad Jesse didn't have a mama that said, I'm sorry, you can't spend any time with the preacher. You need to be tied right here to my apron string. Come on now. Come on. And so he said, I've handed that off to him now. And preacher, I'm going to start another one. And I said, how many of you think you could get started? I like saying stuff like this. How many of you think in the 4 years you're there you could get started? You know, I'd like for one of our boys to go down there. And you know what? Open. He's not only found himself opportunities to preach, he's finding himself opportunities for other preacher boys to preach. Now, what I'm saying is this, folks, that they're not going to learn that unless somebody sits in an office and takes the time. Daddy, that's not going to come naturally. But your son, who's 11, 12, 13, 14 years of age, needs to be trained in proper communication skills. Well, you don't understand. He just doesn't talk. Well, he needs to get over that. He needs to get over it. Well, it's harder for him. Okay, he's going to face all kinds of hard things in life. Get used to it. Get over it. Training. Have him do it. Okay? Well, I tried, but he cried. Well, there's other things you can do to make him cry more. Now our kids are not going to be strong if we're weak. Our kids are not going to be strong if we're weak. And it's up to us to train them in the way that they should go. And so listen. And when they get to that age group, they come, Mom, I want such and such for someone. Could you call and ask them? Could you have? No, you send them. They need to start knowing how to converse with adults. Boy, there's so many other things I want to teach tonight. We've got to stop. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the time we've allowed to study the Bible tonight. Lord, I pray that as we are presented these Bible principles, these tenets of biblical masculinity, as we look into the scriptures and see how you strategically place these little young men phrases for us to learn. As we do a biblical examination of them, may we learn from the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for our young men. I think we have some remarkable, remarkable young men in this church. And I see amazing potential. And Lord, I'm as a pastor, I can't help but be excited. I'm pleased, and I'm thankful for the parents, the good job that they're doing, Lord. And I don't want to come across as sounding like a know-it-all. I want to come across as berating anyone. Because I do believe, Lord, in many areas we're doing a good job, parents are doing a good job. But Lord, help us not to be so haughty that we cannot learn. Help us to be careful, very careful, that we take the time with our young people to instill these tenets into them. By the time we get done, our church will have been presented with and have access to written copies of 20 tenets of masculinity. But to know them in our head and not act upon them, to not train them into our young people, they're useless, laying on a piece of paper stuck somewhere under a stack of magazines. May we commit ourselves to the biblical upbringing of our young men and our homes and our church and all the varied ministries of our church. Help us to do the right things, we pray. In Jesus' name.